Welcome to the Financial Podcast. I'm Barbara Gingy, your host and also a CFP. And hopefully by now, because I say it every time, a CFP stands for a Certified Financial Planner. And we are here today with our guest, Hannah. Did I get it right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And now tell me a little bit about yourself, where you live, what you do, and what you make.
Sure.
And this is the judgment-free zone.
Okay, good. I'm kind of nervous at the moment.
Everyone's always a little nervous. And also, I want to bring up, so we're doing a bunch of podcasting today. So my last guest, though we don't always publish them in the order that they're recorded, was super freaked out the night before a podcast with having to do her budget. And like kept texting me about the budget. They might say, oh, you had a little bit of that, right? When you have to go through it.
Yeah, I sat down this morning and wrote all mine out. And I was like, oh, gosh, am I an adult? I don't think so.
Yeah, one of our podcast guests, when I was chatting with her before, you know, when we meet and bring her up to the room and everything, she was like, yeah, I couldn't figure out where all my money was going. And then when I sat down, I was like, oh, Lord, it's all going to restaurants.
Yeah, New York will do that to you. So that's where I am. I live in Brooklyn.
Okay.
I am an in-house lawyer, and I make $142K a year.
That's fantastic. Now, how old are you?
I'm 29, almost 30.
Okay. And single, married, what's your situation?
I'm living with my boyfriend. We just moved in like 2 or 3 months ago.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah, thank you. I love that we thought we'd be saving money and that has not happened.
Okay, so all right, we'll get through the details, but we're going to come back to are you saving money by living together? And also a question that we get all the time is how do you divvy up your finances?
Sure. Do you want me to talk about
that now? Maybe we should go over the basics first. Okay, so you make 142 mm-hmm. as your salary, and that's your gross annual. And then you live in Brooklyn. So let's go over savings and debt maybe first, and then we'll talk about how you did the whole move-in.
Sure.
You have it all prepared?
I'm pulling out my notes here.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, so I get paid twice a month.
Okay, so the 1st and the 15th. Or something, or 15th and 30th.
No, it's really weird. It's like the no later than the 7th and then no later than the 22nd.
Oh, really? That is so odd.
Yeah, so trying to like work out bills and stuff is
difficult. Because like, they like to use
themselves.
Yeah, exactly. They like normally to get paid like the first of the month. Okay, but it's definitely, it's not 26 pay periods, it's 24. So it's not every 2 weeks.
Yeah, only twice a month.
Okay.
And so I take home in that each paycheck is about $34.50.
Okay.
I have health insurance rework, so I pay towards that. I also do a commuter account.
Perfect.
Thing
you
out
do
of my account.
Pre-tax for your
mm-hmm.
perfect.
Yeah. I have an FSA, same thing.
Yep, to help with the health benefits. Okay.
And I have a 401k that I contribute to, and ooh. My job matches as well, which is
I love that
nice.
Free money.
Yeah.
So how much are you putting in there?
Only 4% because the match is 4%.
Okay, so you do 4, and the company does 4.
Yep.
And how long have you been with your company?
I've been there almost 2.5 years.
Okay, so you've been there a while. Do you know how long you have to stay to keep all the free money?
I was listening to one of your podcasts earlier, and I was like, I didn't know about that. So I looked it up, and it just automatically, like, instantly vests.
Instantly vests. So once you participate. Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, I was like, oh, phew, okay.
You're like off the hook on that one. Okay, so it automatically vests. And for the listeners, that means when a company gives you free money, you have to sometimes stay a certain number of years in order to keep the money. So some companies are very generous, like Hannah's company, where once you put the money in and they match it, you get to keep their match. And other companies, sometimes you have to wait up to 5 years. So if you leave before, yeah.
Wow.
And it's graduated, so it's like 20% each year. So at year 5, you're 100% vested, meaning 100% keeping all the money. Right.
The change jobs, I'm going to have to remember to ask about that.
You definitely want to remember.
Question.
Yeah, that's definitely a question when you get, like, what are the benefits and how does this work? Because if you have a really good match and you leave early, you could leave 50%, 60% of it on the table.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, no, I'm a bummer. Okay, good. So it looks like you're taking care of all of your benefits.
Yeah.
All right. And then do you have any debt? Do you have, like, credit cards and loans, anything like that?
Yeah.
Sad face.
Sad face. So I have about, like, $2,000 to $2,500 on a credit card that I just like can't get rid of.
Okay.
I mean, that sounds really stupid. It just
well, that's why we're
like,
chatting.
Right? Yeah. I also, when my boyfriend and I moved in together, we did the whole like Wayfair interest-free credit card thing.
Okay.
So we've been paying that off, and we've got about together about $1,200 left on that, so about $600 each, but we have until like the end of the year to pay that off, so I'm not really worried about that one.
Okay, but and then the other one is the one that you can't seem to kill.
Yeah, I just like, I don't know.
It's living on and on and on.
I guess I could if I wanted to, but I like the idea of like having some cash.
Okay.
And then, so the big one I have is student debt, because okay. I didn't go to university in the States. Mine's a little bit different. So I have about 66,000 debt.
Okay.
It doesn't have interest on it, but it is subject to inflation.
I kind of like this, that your country doesn't charge interest.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So it's which makes it hard to, you know, really be incentivized to pay it off.
So it's not really growing.
Not really.
Because it has the inflation marker moved it up a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's like 1.5% a year or something like that. I could be wrong. I could have made that up.
Oh my God, totally. I feel like if we disclosed what your country was, like there would be like a flock of people being like, I want your student loans.
I feel like it's enough. People are trying to get out of this country at the moment. Anyway.
Okay, so no interest and then inflation on that.
Yeah.
So did you make any payments on it?
Yeah, so what I did is I took out an interest-free credit card over here and put, I think it was maybe like $8,000 on it. That was the first payment I'd made on it
okay.
since graduating from law school.
Okay.
And so on that credit card, which I still have like kind of calculated how long I need to pay it off to get the interest-free stuff still. So I have about $4,300 left on that.
On that credit card.
But yeah. So
that's different than the Wayfair and then the first. The,
yeah. Okay. So I'm kind of treating that as like the way that I'm paying off
the student loan because you made a whole one-time payment of $8,000.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
And so the plan is then once I've paid that off and I make another payment, I'll get hopefully another interest-free credit card.
And then do it again.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay. I have another idea for you.
Yeah.
Which we're going to go. Yeah, we're
okay.
going to go over.
Great.
Okay, so, and how much do you have left on that card?
So that one's about $4,300.
And no interest, right?
No interest.
Perfect.
And then there's just like a marginal amount on the credit card that my boyfriend and I have together.
Okay. Is that in joint name?
It's in my name, but he's added as an authorized user because I was looking into the joint thing and there's just like really none out there at the moment.
Okay. So he's an all user. It was based on your credit and then he's an authorized user.
Yeah.
Okay. And how much is on that one?
That between the two of us is about like $800 or something. But again, we just like
could pay
it
off, yeah. Okay. And then how are you doing with savings?
So savings I have, don't laugh at me, I have.
It's a judgment-free, really accurate, this is a circle, trust, judgment-free zone.
So I have about $3,500 in savings.
Okay.
And then I also have about $1,000, have you heard of Acorns?
Yes,
I've
heard of all the.
So I've got about $1,000 in Acorns that I'm trying not to touch.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
And then what about, I mean, you have money in your 401k?
And my 401k is up to about $20,000.
Awesome. Do you have any former lingering 401ks from other jobs? You said you've been there.
Oh, no.
No. Okay. This is your first one you're participating in.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. All right. So let's go. We're going to go back to, so we know where you are. So we have a couple of credit cards we'd like to kill. I like the idea of what you're doing with the student loans, but I think we can probably do something a little better.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're not using the credit card funds.
Okay.
Okay. Just in case, because I could like maybe we could run into an issue with that. You know, if you like go beyond the, is it 12 months or 18?
I think it's 18.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, good. That's good. It's not a bad idea. It's a good idea, but we could probably figure out another way, another alternative to that as well.
Okay.
All right. So let's go to, did you like look at your spending and see where your money's going?
No. And I feel like that's just the question that I ask myself all the time. I'm like,
all right, so let's go. Okay. So you moved in with your boyfriend and you thought maybe you would save some money.
Oh, wait, I forgot to mention.
Okay.
So I also just started a lease on a car.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And that's actually like kind of fine. That's about $400 a month.
Okay.
But I'm getting really screwed over by the insurance because I'm not a US citizen.
This isn't, oh.
And I have never had car insurance in this country before.
So it's really high.
It's really high. So I hope after a year I can either ditch that company or go back to them and be like, you need to do something. Or
what's the
I'm
car insurance
you.
Coming a month?
Like over $500.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wait, I have a question.
Yeah.
They live in BF. Can it be in his, can it be technically his car?
Oh, he doesn't drive though. So wouldn't they look into that?
I'm not going to say anything. Okay. I don't know.
I will also dig into that then.
He has a driver's license and is your assistant?
He does not have a driver's license,
no. Oh, that's... Yeah, okay. Sorry. But assuming he had a driver's license and it was, like, a driver.
Yeah, no, he really does not drive.
No, not driving. Not, like, I drive more than he drives. Okay, no. Does not have a driver's license. Yeah. Okay, never mind. Scratch that. I thought maybe, like...
They probably asked some questions.
I thought you'd say, like, well, I drive a car more than he would drive the car, so therefore it's in my name. Okay. No, that would not work. You need a driver's license. Ooh, so that's expensive. So that's, like, $1,000 a month.
Yeah, and I kind of hadn't realized it was going to be.
That expensive. Until the last
minute.
And you're like, uh-oh.
So then I just kind of decided I'd deal with it.
Later.
Yeah.
And you leased the car, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a 3-year lease.
3-year lease. Okay. All right. So that's a big, big number. Woo.
Yeah.
And you pay for that by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's talk about what's the rent? Because you just moved in, about 2.5 months ago?
Yeah.
3 months ago?
Yeah. So we're, with the apartment and a storage unit, we're $1,750 each.
Okay. That's really reasonable, considering what your take home is.
Yeah, exactly.
So are you paying more or less?
I'm paying a little bit more, but, for example, we have washer and dryer in unit now.
Okay. So your lifestyle changed a bit.
Yeah. We're, like, now trying to cook at home as opposed to going out all the time, which, you know, again, I was like, oh, we're going to save so much money because we cook at home now. Still not.
All right, so let's figure this out. Okay, so $1,750 each is rent, and then now you also have $1,000 for the car,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's $2,750. And what are your other big expenses?
So my phone's about $200 a month.
Okay.
We have, like, all the internet, TV stuff is about $150 altogether, so...
Okay.
And then electricity's about the same, so nothing huge, I guess, apart from that. But yeah, I do pay off, the student loan credit card thing. I'm trying to do, like, about $1,000 a month on that.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, that is a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so between all of that, then we add that all up together. If we add the $200 for your cable... Or no, $200 is your cell phone, $150 for utilities, right?
Yeah.
And then another $150 for the cable.
Oh, no, just one.
$150. Oh, what, just $150?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's split.
Oh, because you're splitting it. Okay, perfect. Well, that saves a little right there, right? So then that gets us to, you're about $3,000. So you're just about $3,100 with your utilities, your cell phone, your car insurance, rent. We didn't add in any gas.
Oh, let's yeah. Say, I don't commute, though, so it's
okay.
Probably, like...
Do you pay for parking, or you park on the street?
No, park on the street.
Okay. So probably maybe, like, $100 or so for gas, because you're not using
maximum,
it.
Maximum, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so you have about $3,200. So if you think about it, if you get paid every 2 weeks, $3,450, that's what you take in after your 401k, commuting expenses, healthcare, and FSA.
Yeah.
So you have about, technically, $3,400 left, right? But then we take $1,000 out of that for... the student loan payment, which mm-hmm. is essentially paying off the credit card, and then that brings you down to $2,450.
Yeah. So then because my boyfriend and I just put everything on that credit card, so each month we pay that off. So I guess, like, that's where a lot of it's
going.
Because that's basically, like, our groceries when we go out to a restaurant, we put it on there. So I guess that's what it is, just living.
Yeah. So what I was thinking what you could do, just you living your daily life. I was kind of thinking what you could do instead of, once you get the credit cards paid off, which you will because you're diligent, you're making $1,000 one, and then you could probably suck it up for a month or two and be, I like to call them $0 days.
Okay.
Have you heard of those?
No.
So, you know, you go grocery shopping and you have food in the house, and then you, like, leave to go to work and you're like, oh, I'm just stopping at a smoothie.
Yeah.
And then you go for lunch and you're like, ah, I brought a salad, but I'd really rather go buy a salad.
Yeah.
And so let that rot, the Tupperware rot in the fridge at work. We're all guilty of it.
And then, like,
it.
Don't even take it home.
And then you even don't even take it home.
Then you have to buy more Tupperware.
Yeah, because you're too embarrassed to be like, that's mine, that's growing the green mold in the fridge. So if you had, like, a couple of days where you didn't spend any money, because I feel like with New York City, you can walk out the door and spend $100.
Mm-hmm. So easily.
So easily with an Uber and a smoothie and a coffee and, like, whoop. There you go. There's your whole budget. If you had a couple of $0 days, you could knock off some of the credit cards.
Okay.
Without, like, having to make a huge sacrifice. Like, maybe Tuesdays and Wednesdays you try not to spend Monday.
Okay.
Right?
I like that idea.
Yeah. Because it's, I mean, not a lot's going on in Tuesday, Wednesday. You're doing your regular routine.
Yeah.
And then I like the idea of still paying the $1,000, but you could, once you pay that off, you could start saving that $1,000 in your bank, and then...
So the thing is, I then have to make another student
loan
payment. Yeah.
So when are they, how do they work? How are they, when are they due? Do they come in batches like that?
Yes. Okay. Just because I'm not earning wages.
Over there? Oh.
Yeah, so they don't take it out weekly. You just have to make a lump sum payment when they've like done calculating your tax return. But I don't have any assets or anything over there. So it's basically me saying, I earn $0, but here's what I earned in the United States. Okay. And then they calculate what I would owe on that.
Okay. So then maybe then keep doing that.
Yeah.
Because if you have to make a lump sum.
Yeah.
And then I would say once, and it seems like you just had a bunch of expenses with the moving.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would say once you, what's going on with this one? You should be able to knock the $2,500.
I know. And I've had it for over a year.
Oh, really?
I just, like, I pay a little bit down. I get down to, like, $1,500. And then I just put something on the card.
You know? I feel like you should try and slaughter that one. Okay. I think you should try and kill it. Sorry, okay. Slaughter, but it's like a strong word. I think you should try and kill that one.
Okay.
I think you could probably, if you had a couple $0 days a month, you would probably save $100 a day.
Yeah.
Give or take. Because if your leftover is $2,400 a month, right, after student loans, you're probably spending like $50 to $100 a day.
Probably.
Give or take, depending on the day.
Yeah.
So if you had a couple, like Tuesday, Wednesday, every month, you tried not to spend anything.
Okay. Yeah.
And then you could use that money to put towards that and pay it off.
I mean, it makes so much sense.
It's more about just like sitting down and seeing where your money is going. Mm-hmm. You have really good income. It's just about being like a little bit more strategic where it's going.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is I would challenge you to try, once you get rid of the credit cards, I would challenge you to try and increase your 401k.
Okay.
You're losing a lot to taxes here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're getting, you're losing a lot. So
I think I've probably put it at like the highest deductions, is that what you call it?
When you're claiming 01?
Yeah. Okay. So I tend to get like a pretty, or at least I did last year, got a pretty decent tax return back. But the year before that, I paid tax. And so then I freaked out and I like moved all my deductions so that I wouldn't have to be paying tax. And that seemed to work.
Okay.
But I got a lot back. So I probably could change that. But I kind of like the idea of getting a lump.
I would say when you get the lump, then you should add, if you still have any credit cards, which I think you can probably knock out before April.
Yeah.
I would use that to pay off all the debt and then increase your emergency fund.
Okay.
And then what I would do is I would challenge you to do like 1% more or 2% more in the 401k. I don't think you're going to notice a huge difference.
Yeah,
in your
paycheck. Probably not. I don't even know where my money's going. So.
Yeah, so at least this way then you have your 401k growing faster.
Yeah.
And you're probably paying somewhere between 30 and 40% in tax, if not more.
Yeah.
So if you put $100 in to the 401k, $100 is going to go into the 401k, you're only going to miss $70 out of your paycheck.
Wow, okay.
Because of the tax difference.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it goes in pre-tax. Maybe even more, you might only miss $60. Because you're single in New York City, you have a good income, so you're losing a lot. So I would say I would do 1% more.
Okay.
Because you have enough income to manage all of the expenses that you have. It's just about deciding, do you want to change your lifestyle a little to pay off the debt, or do you want to just keep, you know.
I know, I do. It like kind of stresses me out every so often. I'm like, how come I haven't got this under control? Like, because what's crazy is that my first job in this country was like a third of what I'm earning now, and I still managed to cope. And now,
so
I don't feel like I'm in any better position.
And you're making more money. So what's really interesting is people make more money, they keep their habits, their lifestyle kind of the same. So before you didn't contribute to the 401k, but now that you made that, when you got that raise, you didn't say, okay, now I'm going to do 20% of the 401k. You're like, I'm going to do 4% to get the 4%, which is great. But you could really do 10%.
Yeah.
Or get to at least 6% because you will max out at a certain point.
Okay.
But I would take advantage of everything that you have there because you're losing a lot to taxes.
Yeah.
So it's tax efficient.
Okay.
It's interesting because what happens typically when people make more money is they say, okay, well now I can afford to do all these things I didn't do. And you probably lived a great lifestyle before anyway. There's some differences, like washer dryer are going to be nice.
Yeah.
Being able to not worry about it is nice. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have the worry because you have good income, but it's now like, okay, let me be conscious and say, I'd really rather get rid of the debt because it'll give me peace of mind. So I'm going to make small tweaks to my lifestyle so that I can get rid of the debt and then have more cash. Because then when something comes up, you have the cash and then you like spend the cash and then replace the cash, like a bank.
Yeah. Rather than just being like, oh, put it on the credit card, pay with it later.
No, you're doing fine. It's just, I would definitely use some of the money to get rid of the credit card. And I would use the $0 days so you don't feel like you're making a huge sacrifice.
Okay.
Or if you look at your budget, and I would just figure out where most of the money is going, and then do you need to allocate that much? So like if you look at your budget and let's say you have roughly $2,400 a month, is there somewhere where you can get $400 back from there or $500 back from there that you don't need? So maybe you look at taxis or Ubers or something and then just have like a rule for yourself like, okay, I'm not going to spend money on X, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The and middle then, of yeah. the week or 2 weeks a month, I don't do it. And then you'll see the difference. Because yeah. you know you can do it because you did it before.
Exactly. And that's what's so frustrating. It's like, oh, why am I, like, I feel like I'm such a brat now, you know? I'm like, oh, I don't want to catch the train. It's late. Like, I'll get an Uber.
And you can, and you can do it, but you have to just balance a little bit more with where you want to be versus mm-hmm. where you are today. Because you have really good income. And I would say if you got rid of the credit cards and kept saving, because you're basically going to be knocking down the student loans every year because you have to,
exactly.
right?
Yeah.
So that's an expense that you have that yeah. you, so it's a little bit under $1,000 a month that you're always going to be paying for that.
Yeah.
But even with that, you still have about $2,400 a month to play with.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, think about that. And if you like were on a super strict budget and said $1,000 for food and I'm going to save $1,500 a month or $1,000 a month, you could. And in 6 months, you could have $6,000 saved.
Yeah. I know, and that's why it's so sad.
No, it's not that. It's all about, I mean, it's all about figuring out where you are and, like, what the goal, what your next goal is. So it sounds like the next goal is to get rid of the credit cards, which you can totally do. And
yeah.
then what would be the next one from there?
I feel like I don't have anything in between this and being like, wow, I should really have a deposit for a house. But it seems kind of silly because I live in New York and I'm not going to be able to afford that, so...
I think it's worth saving for it because it might be something, it never hurts to work towards the goal, even though, yeah, New York is very expensive and it will be time consuming. It will take a long time to save up for a house deposit, but it's not impossible. If we were to sit down and say, and really analyze your spending and see where it goes and figure it out, I think one thing that might hinder it a little bit is the car lease. So maybe that's something you don't renew.
Yeah.
Because that's $12,000 a year. So in 3 years, you could have $36,000 saved towards a house deposit.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the thinking there was that my boyfriend and I, one, we do probably a trip out of New York at least once a month,
okay.
either for his family or like our friends and stuff, and
mm-hmm.
renting cars in this city, it just wasn't making sense.
Right.
The insurance, I think, was what made me go, oh, maybe this wasn't
the best.
Cheaper than I
thought.
I feel like if insurance was down at around maybe like $250.
Yeah, but then it would give you way more wiggle room.
Yeah,
definitely.
Which is why I'm hoping like in a year maybe I can go to another insurance.
Yeah, and then that's extra money.
Yeah.
But I definitely think you could save. I think once you get rid of the credit cards, you should use some of that excess money and you could try and do $500 a month or $600 a month or depending on what you have to look at your budget and say, okay, I'm willing to give up this to try and save. Because you'll probably get raises, right, with work, do you think?
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, it's basically like each year you get a review.
Okay.
So far, my raises have been pretty decent, not just like the, you know, 4%.
Usual 4%, yeah.
Yeah, so they've been pretty decent. I'm not quite sure like what the upper cap on it
that
is.
That is
though.
Right, yeah.
So yeah, it'll be interesting. So that'll come around in about February or so.
Okay. So if you get a raise... Put half of the raise, whatever the percentage is, or you're going to cap out in the 401k, but put whatever you can, before capping out, into the 401k.
Okay.
Because you weren't living on it before.
What do you mean capping out?
So you can only do, I believe for 2019, well, we're in 2018 still, but in 2018, I believe your maximum is going to be $18,500.
Okay.
So with your salary, 10%. Is 1420, right?
Okay.
So at some point you'll be able to do, you don't want to go too high. Okay. So the limit for 2018 is going to be $18,500 that you can contribute of your salary, which works out to be 13% of your, if you were doing a percentage, it's roughly 13% of your gross salary that you could put in.
Okay.
So
it feels like a lot.
It feels like a lot. But if you get, you're saying you get these big bumps with the raises, if you get a big raise, you could put in, depending on what the,
okay.
So let's say they give you a $20,000 raise, you could put in half of that, right? That's $10,000 you didn't have before.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Because you weren't living on it.
Yeah.
And that's an easy way, because you were saying how you're making more money, but you feel like you're not saving more.
Yeah.
That's a really good way to do it, because
okay.
then half of it's for today,
because
you earned it, and then half of it's for tomorrow.
Okay.
And it's not money out of your pocket, because you weren't living on it before.
Yeah. And
there's no
way to be able to, like...
No, you can't get to it.
Yeah.
So you'll see it in there, and you'll see your account grow much faster then, because not only are now you putting an extra $10,000 in, plus your regular contribution, plus your match, it'll start to snowball.
Yes, okay.
So that's what I would do with that. And then I would keep trying to pay off what you have
mm-hmm.
with the credit cards. And then once that happens, when you get your tax refund in the spring, I would save that.
Yep.
And then I would start, once you get the credit cards paid off, I would start trying to put an extra $500. And Acorn works really well, right? Because it's like rounds up everything for you.
You don't even notice it. Yeah.
So I would set up for you, I think the best way for you to do it is to set up an auto savings account where you take out every pay period, you take out like 75 or 100, it auto debits to a savings account that's not in your regular bank.
Okay.
Just like Acorn.
Cool. Yep. I can do that.
Yeah. And then it is out of sight, out of mind. You can always cancel it if you need the money back.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, how did you divvy everything up with when you moved in? That's a question we get all the time.
You mean like the moving expenses? Or
the expenses and like rent and sharing and like how did you figure that all out?
Yeah, we basically just splitting it down the middle. And when we were, you know, I was paying stuff on my card, he was paying stuff on his card. Neither of us liked to talk about money in that way. So it was kind of getting like a little bit like, all
awkward.
Right, well, yeah. So I was like, well, maybe if we just make a modern day kitty, basically. Because the other thing is my credit card has really great benefits on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to move to like a cash lifestyle when I had already seen so many
rewards. Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of benefits if you use them right.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, okay, well, if we just do a joint account on this credit card, and we said like, you know, we'll only use it for the things that we do together.
Perfect.
So it's no longer my like personal day-to-day card, it's now the shared card. So like groceries, when we go out for dinner, you know, any kind of like household supplies go on there, and then we just like split it at the end of the month.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
And how's that working out?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes like means we don't have to think about it.
Right, rather than being like, I'm gonna Venmo you for half of this or
yeah, and like that was $8, you owe me $4. That kind of stuff that we just like had no interest in keeping tabs on, but obviously it adds up, and if one person feels like
they're paying more,
then it's kind of awkward. So we both thought that was a way to just deal with it without having to really talk about it so much.
No, I think that's a great idea. And then with the rent, when you were looking for the apartment, did you say we're going to split it, or how did you figure that part out?
Yeah, so we just decided 50-50. We just, at the moment, there sort of wasn't really any reason to not
do that.
50-50. Well, the other thing, the reason I feel like a little not financial is we had to pay a broker's fee but didn't realize until like the day we were signing the lease.
Oh no.
So that was sort of not in our budget.
So you had a lot of big expenses. So you had the moving, the broker fee, and then obviously Wayfair is a furniture company, so to furnish the place, right, was expensive.
Yeah.
So exactly. I think you'll make a full recovery. I mean, you just had a lot of, and you got the car, so you had a lot of big expenses come up.
Yeah, totally. In the last, you know, 3-4 months, it's been a lot of just money out.
Right.
So I'm hoping, you know, like you said, by the end of the year, I can sort of start afresh.
Yeah, get the credit cards paid off.
Yeah,
and then I think your biggest thing is if you get that raise to really bump up the 401k, because I think what will happen is you'll have the credit cards paid off, you'll now be getting part of the raise in your paycheck, but you'll see that 401k build, so you'll feel like you have more financial security because you're going to see your net worth grow.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to grow much faster in a tax-deferred account for what your situation is.
Yeah, I like that idea. Probably wouldn't have thought of that. And you're like, oh, all these extra money to throw away.
Yay, more money! Because you're just going to lose so much of it. With your raise, because I'm assuming you're going to get a raise, you said that they have in the past and it's been more than the 4%. And even if you don't, you could still work every year and try to increase it 1%. It's very easy.
Okay.
You're not going to feel a huge bite. And I challenge you to try and do that by the end of the year, just do 1% more in the 401k. That gets you to 5 and the company is 4, so you're at 9.
Yep.
I'd like to get you...
10's a magic number.
Can we?
Oh,
I say
at least the magic number.
You're in magic land.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. You could still climb higher. You could go to like 15 or whatever. Just because you don't have too much debt, the student loans are manageable for what your income is.
Yeah.
Your rent is reasonable, so you have some wiggle room. So that's why I would say maybe you shoot for over 10.
Okay.
Yeah, because this is the time to save, right? Before you have a family, kids, and mortgage and bigger obligations, you have more flexibility with your budget.
Yeah, that's true.
So what's your biggest stress with money?
I think it's just the where does it all go question.
Which
even just sitting down now has been really helpful. Just even like understanding, okay, so I have about like $2,500 that I need to be accounting for better than I am.
Yeah. So I think the key is, and this comes up every time in the podcast, is people get their paycheck comes in and at the end of the month they're like, how did this happen? Where did it go? So I think the key is I would really sit down and go through and see where all the money is going. So one of the last podcasts, she sat down and gave her a budget sheet, which I can give you, and just write down like how much is really going to transportation, how much is really going to entertainment, how much is really going to restaurants. Because when I did my own budget, I was like, I do not want to be spending this much money on transportation. Like, it's not where I want my money to go.
Especially when you can pay like $2.75 for a subway ride.
Right. Like, it's nice once in a while, fine, but like I would much rather be a little bit more proactive about getting places on time and maybe walking there.
Yeah.
Because it's nice to be outside and I'm in the city. Do I really want to be underground the whole time? I could walk a lot of places if I leave earlier.
Yeah.
And it ended up saving me a lot of money because when I first bought the business, I was really, really strapped and was living on credit. So I didn't want to put anything I didn't have to on a credit card. So I think if you sat down and looked at it, you could be like, oh, I'm giving way too much of my paycheck to Uber. Mm-hmm. I still am going to use it, but I'm going to try next month only do half. And then you almost keep track of it in your head because you're like, okay, I really am going to do 300 on Uber this month. So
even just 300 on Uber, it's like, what?
Yeah, you'll be shocked when you do. Maybe it's not Uber for you. It was for me. It was like Uber and taxis. But everybody, the last person I had was like,
yeah,
restaurants.
I'm sure I'm about the same on the Uber, which is why I'm like, that's crazy when you kind of add up $20 here, $20 there. Like,
yeah, when you look at it, you're like, I would much rather use this for something else.
Yeah.
And then that's where you can be more proactive. And it's like anything else, I tell people, you're going to have days where things go wrong and you're like, oh, whatever, I'm going off my budget, I'm not going to think about it. But when you actually proactively look and say, I would rather have more of my money go towards vacation, which means I'm going to get up a little earlier and take the subway, or I'm going to bring a lunch and actually eat it, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Then you become in control of your financial destiny rather than your life controlling your money, right? You like make the decision that I'm going to get this paid off. I'm then going to save for a house. Because with your income, it's really possible that by your mid 30s, you have a good chunk of money saved for a down payment.
Yeah, I know. I know I should, which is, I think that's my stressor.
You can.
Yeah. It's like, I know I should be in a better situation than I am.
No, you don't need to be in a better, it's not that you need to be in a better situation. You just, I think sitting down and talking about it is like the first step is like acknowledging like, this is what I make, this is where my money's going, and is this where I want to be?
Yeah.
So if you know like, this isn't where I want to be, then what do we need to do to get you to the next spot? And you could totally do it. It's just a matter of like, where are we allocating?
Yeah.
And the $0 days help so much because you don't think about it until
I really
you
like that concept.
Yeah, I try and do it. I still try and do it too. I started it when I worked at Bloomberg my first year because I think after I paid my rent and my Metro card and I had to have dry cleaning because I had to wear a suit.
Oh gosh.
I was like, I can't afford this. And the guy next to me is like picking up his shirts. I think they're like 75 cents a shirt. And I was like, why are mine $3? They're like, oh, they're girl shirts. So we have to hand do them. I'm like, oh,
what?
Well, should I be buying men's clothing? So it's cheaper. But I think at the end of the month, like once I accounted for everything, I only had, I think it was $100 a week, or maybe it was like $250. It was really not a lot. And so I came up with that in my head. I was like, I'm going to have a day where I'm only going to eat whatever is in my house because my parents were taking me to Sam's Club. Like,
oh,
every once
great.
In a while, and I had, like, it was the same thing. I was eating, like, plain pasta and, like, plain cereal. And then I had free food at Bloomberg and free coffee at Bloomberg, but I would have days where it was $0. Like, I used my Metro card, went to work, I had everything free at work.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, one of the managers once called me out. She was like, is that all you're eating? And I'm like, yeah, whatever you put out, it's free, is what I'm eating. Like,
yeah, my company had snacks as well, so... You know, the girls on my team and I joke, we're like, oh, company lunch day, company shouting, it's lunch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like eating like chips and like, carrot sticks.
Yeah, I had like apple and peanut butter.
Yeah.
Maybe not the healthiest, but I would like get through the whole day without spending a dollar and you're like, oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Two or three days a week.
Yeah, I would challenge you to do that and then increase by 1% the 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get the credit cards wiped out. I think you just had a lot of expenses come up, so you'll get those wiped out by the end of the year with no issue. And then I would say your next goal, I would really split the next raise with yourself, with your 401k and you, and then I would work towards saving for a house.
Okay.
You'll increase your emergency fund by doing that, but then from
there
you can work towards saving for a down payment.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thanks.
I hope this is helpful.
Yeah. Making me realize how I should be adulting and how I'm not.
Hashtag adulting.
Yeah.
We'll wrap with that. Thanks for listening.